The Bush administration has joined other nations and regional groupings to try to broker a political settlement in Haiti. But with no end in sight to the violence, there's growing concern that the uprising could spark an exodus of refugees. And that has some members of Congress and some analysts pushing the administration to intervene. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
While U.S. diplomats struggled to get opposition leaders to agree on a political reform plan, White House spokesman Scott McClellan made clear the U.S. is not contemplating military intervention yet.
This is a political situation that requires a political solution.
At the State Department, spokesman Richard Boucher acknowledged that it's not clear that the armed gangs that have taken over cities and towns across Haiti will respond to a political deal between opposition political figures and President Jean-Bertrand Aristide, but the U.S. is hoping they will.
Our view is that if you move Haiti in the direction of peace, if you can move towards a peaceful settlement of these differences, that there will be a stronger support among the population for maintaining a new prime minister and government that are chosen by this process, and that will have a calming effect on the violence.
And then, he said, international police would be ready to help the Haitian government. While Bush administration officials say they don't see any signs of an imminent humanitarian crisis, Democratic Senator Bill Nelson is among those arguing time is not on the U.S. side. He's worried about a mass exodus of Haitians heading to his state, Florida, and he accuses the U.S. government of having a do-nothing policy.
As long as the rebellious forces have the upper hand, which appears to be exactly the case, I don't see how you give them the incentive to stop taking over the country and continue the killing. It seems to me that nothing's going to change until we go in there with other countries with some kind of international police force, and that's the only thing that's going to stop the violence.
A Republican senator from Ohio, Mike DeWine, won't go that far, but he's advocating some U.S. show of force to prevent what he fears could be a bloodbath in Port-au-Prince.
A small presence of U.S. servicemen in Haiti, not in there to fight, not in there to be engaged, but as a show of force done in the correct way, probably could do an awful lot.
Up to now, U.S. policy toward Haiti has been fraught by partisan squabbles. According to James Dobbins of the Rand Corporation, he was President Clinton's special envoy to Haiti in the mid-1990s when the U.S. intervened to restore Aristide to power after a coup. Dobbins says U.S. policy has been inconsistent and intermittent. And now many in Washington, he says, are simply used to seeing a Haiti on the verge of disaster.
We've gone from a policy of partisan intervention on behalf of President Aristide by the Clinton administration to partisan disengagement. The current administration has cut off all forms of assistance to the Haitian government and, in effect, let it wither and die on the vine.
Dobbins does spread the blame for a failure in Haiti, saying even in the Clinton years of intervention, the U.S. was spending 100 times less on nation-building in Haiti than the U.S. now spends in Iraq.
Haiti may not be as important as Iraq, but it's not 100 times less important.
The fate of President Aristide remains in question now. Many of his supporters here in Washington were disillusioned by him. Senator Nelson certainly was.
He comes back in with the force of the U.S., and unfortunately, he turns out to be a very ineffective and corrupt president. And so it's the worst of all possible worlds for the United States. And yet, if we do nothing, if we, the U.S., does not offer leadership, the place is going to continue in a downward death spiral.
The Bush administration says the plan it's promoting does not require Aristide to step aside, but officials add they wouldn't oppose it if he decides to leave, though few here currently see any alternative. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.